stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Tivoli Americas Pipeline Building Conference Series. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Carl Valentino. Please go ahead.
Great. Hey, Lisa, thank you. Appreciate that. Hey, folks, good morning. Appreciate you taking the time to join this call. Hope for those of you who are living in the Northeast that you're safe and digging out. We in New York here, we got a good 12 plus inches of snow. It's pretty overwhelming the amount of mess we've got going on up here. Today's call is consistent with the previous calls we've been doing this year around automation. We got some feedback from you folks at the end of last year, and then got some feedback after last call that you seem to like this focus and this venue. Our calls are being more focused around, instead of product-specific, we're talking on the automation calls about customer wins and customer successes and the and how sellers within the organization have been able to achieve them. Today I have the pleasure to have on the call with me Ed Weilage and Sam Carlisle. Ed and Sam will both be talking about two very strategic wins from 2008. Ed will be talking about JPMC. JPMC, as many of you know, was our first move forward with a lot of what we heard while we were at Pulse in the earlier part of February around TSAM, however you want to say it these days, and around the whole cloud computing initiative. JPMC was also an exciting win for us in that it was our first springboard from the service provider space in a very key aspect of our portfolio, that is being the service assurance area of our portfolio. It's really the first time we've moved the Valent portfolio service assurance into an enterprise account and a variety of other solutions in the area. Sam's on the call today to talk a little bit about BAE. BAE is an account that we've had it for a long time. It's been a great reference for us around service desk and the service management space of our automation portfolio. Specifically, I think BAE is interesting, as Sam will share with you, that in a lot of instances we use what I consider the strongest piece of our portfolio in automation, the Micromuse portfolio. We leverage the Micromuse components, the Omnibus and the TBSM and the impact-related products to springboard us into other areas of service management, specifically the service desk, to compete against companies like HP and Peregrine. This is an opportunity which I think is kind of unique, and I hope you'll learn from it. It's an opportunity where we actually took the installed base that we had around Service Desk and SRM at BAE, and we leveraged that and springboarded it in order to win product and portfolio in the Omnibus and the NetCool area. So I think it's also an exciting way of growing our opportunities. Again, folks, if there is a deck that's been created for the presentation, it is on Extreme Leverage. It is able to be downloaded there. If you need it quickly, just ping me on same time. I'm happy to shoot it over to you. I'd ask you to hold off questions till the end. We're going to do a Q&A for both Ed and Sam. So with that, I'd like to kick this off by turning it over first to Sam to talk a little bit about BAE and his win. Sam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Appreciate it, Sam. It's all yours. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you very much, Carl, and thank you for everybody for joining the call. I'm also located up in the Northeast, so as I'm sitting here doing this presentation, I'm watching the snow rise and rise and rise. So I'll get right into it. For people who don't know me, I'm a Tivoli sales specialist, again, in the Northeast. I've been with IBM for about 2.5 years. I came into the investment space working under Joe Baresi. And I started working with BAE Systems just about the beginning of January 2008. And, you know, from the investment space, I was told that this was a federal account and really don't waste any time. And knowing my people who know my personality, you know, not wasting time with his account really wasn't an option for me. I was just, in 2007, I was working with mostly state and local government and education accounts. This was my opportunity to break into the commercial account world, and I was going to do everything I could to figure out what was going on with BAE Systems. So not wasting time wasn't an option. So the first thing I did, and if everybody has the slides here, I'm just going to move to the next, to the second slide off the introduction page. I really did want one of the key people from BAE Systems on this call with me today explaining what we did. His name's Lonnie Berry. He's the director of their Network Operations Center. But due to the snowstorm, he couldn't make this call. But just to give a brief overview of the research I did with this account, you know, I did learn that they were one of the largest aerospace and defense companies, and they were growing through acquisitions. They've made acquisitions with companies like Land and Armaments, which is known as the company that blows up stuff, ENIS, which is the super secret company, Customer Services Group, and also the Products Division. They also formed an internal company called Enterprise IT, or EIT, which I'll talk about more in a little bit. Also during my research, I learned that they were entitled for TSRM, which they purchased through MRO, which Carl was just mentioning, and also a little bit of NetCool Omnibus, which they purchased through Cisco. When I started, there was really no great relationships within BAE and IBM besides the what individuals were doing from an MRO perspective. Tivoli had an extremely bad name, and they really were hoping that the whole MRO acquisition to IBM didn't happen based on some of their past relationships and past experiences with Tivoli. But I also looked at this as a great opportunity to show, you know, really BAE what we're doing in the space from an ISM perspective. So with this information, I cold called into BAE, into the director of IT, and really just set up a meeting around what we're doing from an IBM software perspective. I didn't want to focus in on Tivoli because I just figured that the meeting might get rescheduled, you know, seconds before I came down there. So I focused around IBM software, and I asked the gentleman to join me, Brian Manzo, who is the sales leader for automation in the East, who has been a tremendous resource for me, you know, with all the different deals that I've done over the past couple of years. But I asked Brian to come down with me and just talk about, you know, really provide an ISM overview. I mean, Brian's pretty much amazing at doing that. And, you know, I asked him to come down. I told him the situation that, they were leveraging TSRM today. This is a great opportunity for them to really understand our overall value. So I asked him to come down with me for the presentation. And it was quite a day we had down there at BAE. During this presentation, we went through the whole strategy. I know everybody on this call has probably seen it before. But we went through the whole strategy, and we kept it very interactive. I learned during this meeting that, you know, they're very ITIL-focused. They're basing everything they're doing on the ITIL framework. They were going from a NOC to an ECC. And for people who don't understand that or don't know all the different acronyms, a NOC is a Network Operations and Security Center, and they were going to an Enterprise Control Center. And they were doing this because they were telling me that they were created this Enterprise IT division, as I mentioned before, to service all the different lines of businesses, all the different acquisitions that they were making. They're insourcing all this activity from CSC, and they were building out this enterprise control center to not only leverage and service the different lines of businesses, but also bring on new companies, new customers, and really compete with the EDSs of the world out there. So never would have got this information if we didn't sit in front of them and they really could understand the whole service management strategy and loved it and, you know, kept mentioning that this is the direction we need to go. This is what we need to have in place, complete visibility, control, and automation over our environment. So that brings me to some of their pain points that they also talked about. They had way too many tools in their environment. They were using HP, a little bit of HP OpenView. They were using HP NNM for the network monitoring. They were using WhatsApp Gold. They actually had WhatsApp Gold. They were using a lot of BMC, a lot of Cisco, all coming in from different silos, from different information. So they really had no clear visibility over their environment. If something went down, when Brian Manzo and I were on site during this demonstration, one of their Exchange servers went down, and they just said, well, someone's going to bring it back up again. And they said, well, we really have no idea where it is, which is always what you want to hear during our demonstration, which gave us even more reason to go in the direction we're going. But anyways, they're using many different tools. They're using a lot of HP NNM on the network side is what the clear focus was at this point in time. They did understand that, with their menu of services that they were providing back to their acquisitions, they were under SLAs, which they had no idea if they were breaching them or not. It all depended on how many help desk tickets were coming into TSRM. And then they also formed their CAB, their customer advisory board, change advisory board, which they were really looking into doing, managing change in the environment. They understood that this needed to be a strong focus at this point in time and that changes were going on all over the organization and they had no idea what was wrong. And so if a change occurred, they couldn't track it, and it was impacting their applications, and they couldn't pinpoint exactly what was going on. So these were some of their major pain points in the organization that they highlighted to us during this meeting and a few meetings afterwards. Where we decided to begin was really taking a look at getting them more visibility, focusing in on one of their lines of businesses, showing what we could do from a NetCool suite with IPM and also Tatum. But where their immediate pain point was getting IPM out there to quickly build out the Tivoli Enterprise portal and really gain more visibility over what was going on. So that's where we started off, and I'm going to move to my third slide there, just so we can talk a little bit about that. Those are some of the different solutions that we're coming in with, and I'll name some of the products also. So taking out HP OpenView, bringing everything into all events into Omnibus, and also integrating with what they already have today with the help desk with TSRM, which was a huge advantage to them. And it also brought two distinct separate departments of their organization talking together for the first time. Again, this company was broken into so many silos that this was a huge advantage for them to show that they could actually work together. So they were bringing those pieces together with Omnibus and TSRM and then looking to leverage the rest of the NetCool suite to do root cause analysis on the network side, which NNM really wasn't giving them any of this information. So this was a huge win for us right off the bat. And then being able to roll out IPM across their server environment to all bring in all events coming into Omnibus to provide that single pane of glass. So we worked on that this was for people who are out there selling. This was done in a few different pieces. So when I took the account over in January, we began working with them from an ITM perspective in March. We rolled out Impact to do the event enrichment probably in the June timeframe. So we're doing the fact that this was modular was a huge win for BAE because from a budget sense, we're able to pick off a couple of these as we grew out their NOC environment. So we went from ITM to Impact. In the September time frame, we really rolled out NetCool Precision or ITNM to really do that root cause piece, and then, again, rolling them all into Omnibus, which was a huge win for the organization. And that's when we really took a look at moving forward with the Tatum piece to really show the dependency mapping of their critical applications and also helping turn their manual CAB into a much more automated approach where they can have real information to make decisions from. So those were some of the key pieces that we're working with them right off the bat, and which also led us to doing an ELA. So this was a brand new ELA customer where in the end of the year we're able to roll out, after proving these solutions throughout 2008, roll them into one ELA to begin focused in on rolling out these solutions in much more depth in 2009. So that kind of brings us to where we are today. Some of the business value that we're able to show right off the bat was from their network operators being able to, when an event came in, be able to target exactly what happened 40 to 50% quicker than they were able to before. And also just from a mean time to repair, if you look at it from that perspective, they had no visibility a year ago. Now they're able to really pinpoint specific problems and really get back on track a lot quicker. So that's where we're at today. I'm also going to go to the last slide here to talk. I know I only had 15 minutes, so I want to move it along. I'll go to the last slide first as far as some of the lessons learned with BAE Systems. It's all about relationships. I know when Brian Manzo and I came on site and, we not only started to talk about the whole ISM messaging and showing how we can help make them successful, but also the first thing they asked us was, we're throwing out Massimo, the TSRM solution, and we had to go into an immediate crit sit. They also saw that we could, roll up our sleeves and really start getting the right people involved to fix certain things that have gone wrong. And by doing that and really focusing in on the success of the organization, we're able to build a tremendous amount of credibility. And those relationships have moved so far as to they brought about 15 people out to Pulse this year to really get standardized and certified on IBM Tivoli solutions. So just doing the relationship side is where I focus in on probably the most. And that proved to be very beneficial for me working with this account. Also, just from an overall we've had a lot of conversations, and if Lonnie Berry was on the phone right now, he could talk about it. But just conversations about, what do customers expect from IBM sales representatives? And, it's a lot different from the way they look at startup companies that come in to talk with them, or even HP or Cisco. They expect us to have a lot more preparation. They expect us to understand their environment when we walk in the door and not to have all those meetings around, the detailed discovery that they feel as though is a bit wasting their time. So they expect us to know a lot more coming in the door than other companies. And if we don't, that's one thing which is a turnoff to growing that relationship pretty quickly. So do the preparation out there for everybody who's on the phone, because it is critical to the success you're going to have with these organizations. And then also the ability to translate the technical solution into business value. And you can see what BAE is doing as far as moving from a NOS to an ECC and insourcing from CSC. There was a tremendous amount of business value that our ISM portfolio or solutions are going to provide to their lines of businesses. And being able to articulate that and demonstrate that, it was a partnership. It really was able to build a partnership between IBM and BAE. So those are really critical factors in our relationship. And really overall, from an opportunity identification standpoint, and being in the investment space, we're on that today. It's all about staying in front of customers and when people say, you know, this is something you don't want to waste time with, it's really figuring that out for your own, getting in front of them, understanding their business, understanding where you can provide the value, and bring in the right resources to come in and demonstrate that, our solutions. Because I completely believe that our ISM portfolio is by far the best out there from an end-to-end perspective. And when demonstrated right and clearly articulated, without getting into all the acronyms and different things that IBM likes to confuse our customers with, it's pretty easy to really show the value that we can provide organizations today. And I know for a fact that our competitors are not doing that. So, everybody, again, thank you for your time. I'll be on if you have any questions afterwards. Thank you very much.
Hey, Sam, thanks a lot. That was really great. We appreciate you going through the details on that. Hey, two high points I want to just kind of highlight. Sam talked about some of the folks he used, you know, specifically Brian Manzo, the relationships he's established with the customer. Folks, there are, you know, as we've moved and as we've evolved within Tivoli to an enterprise service rep model, our sellers have gotten broader and broader responsibility than years ago when we had a pillar-focused model. The ability for you to be subject matter experts and deep in any one area is almost an impossibility. We're going to find, I think, moving forward that the expectation is you're going to be kind of broad on many topics, but not as deep as maybe some of our competitors in some of the specific areas. And I think about service management and service desk and competing against BMC and HP. You know, back to people and back to the examples that Sam used around Brian and him getting involved, there is a deep, deep bench of resources of folks that can help you. I don't have a conversation with Laura Saunders where she doesn't give me a hard time about getting her development folks out in front of our opportunities, getting them out selling with us, getting them out helping us build the architecture and helping build the strategy. She's constantly saying we don't spend enough time getting even her in front of our top opportunities and our top accounts. There's a deep bench of folks that can help you, like Brian, like Laura, that are willing, ready, and able to come out and help. Bring it back to your automation lead. Bring it back to your regional brand leader. You know, even if it's just something what you're thinking about, get folks in the boat with you on the strategy and the architecture to help you understand. And get with folks like Sam and Ed and your peers to understand what are the different types of things that they've done to help create OI within their opportunities. Second thing is relationship. You know, we were scheduled to have Lonnie on this call. It's a commentary towards the great relationship that Sam has with Lonnie and the customer. Relationships are built over time, and relationships aren't built based upon, constant meetings and constant PowerPoints. The relationships are built based upon, things you do with the customer outside the office. Things like Pulse and things like the cloud computing events that we'll be having in New York and Toronto, and things that we can do from a creativity perspective. Just as Laura and Brian and folks are constantly asking me, how can I help? We've got a deep bench of marketing folks that are also looking to help, to bring resources to bear to you to help you progress your opportunities, whether it be closing events, closing dinners, golf events, golf outings, sporting events. We've got a great resources in those areas. So again, bring those back to me, bring them back to your automation lead. We can help you do the things that you need to do to establish your relationships with your customers to help you progress those. So building upon some of the high points of the solution and relationships and people, I would like to take this and turn it over to Ed to talk about really probably one of our premier accounts within Tivoli, JPMC, and the great win that he had there in Q4 of 2008. This was a very sizable win and one that certainly helped the brand and the East IMT with success in software. So, Ed, are you there to take it over?
Yep, still here.
Great. Thanks, Ed.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. Yeah, I think Carl positioned us well here between Sam and I from, you know, brought in the spectrum to the other. Chase is a huge company, and, you know, with that hugeness, as it will, as it were, $2.3 trillion of assets that they manage every day, they think that they're very special. and the Tivoli brand does as well. So it's kind of a, this intersection is where my job lays in the middle of this, what I kind of call a double-ended funnel. And, you know, my key role is to be this funnel, both from the customer side coming in to wondering, you know, how we can further on the solutions they already have in place and add to it and create a broader solution to the Tivoli brand coming to me, asking how they can get more involved in Chase. So, you know, what Carl said is definitely true. There's a lot of resources in the Tivoli brand that, you know, want to get involved in your accounts, and just a matter of being that double-ended funnel and connecting the right people, and allowing those relationships to flow through without being the bottleneck yourself, I think is, you know, what's made me successful so far. And another key point is, you know, getting involved in problems. Chase has its share of problems, as probably everyone, you know, on the phone says, oh yeah, you know, my account has, you know, their share of problems too. I'm talking problems to the tune of, you know, about 40 new PMRs opened a month, and mostly around the monitoring standpoint. So I have some very technically astute customers that know the inner workings of our products better than some of the folks in our development organization at times. And we consistently, you know, work on paring back this PMR list, and you know, part of his weekly calls and part of his relationship we developed. The people that open the PMRs you would think would be adversarial to us, but, you know, quite the contrary. They're really helping us improve our support process, improve our support engineers, as well as helping us improve our product, you know, with their involvement in the Customer Advisory Council. So they view all the problems that they have as win-win, both for Chase and for Tivoli. And we continue in that vein. So, you know, my view is, you know, don't be afraid of problems. Jump in the middle of them if you can. So a little background on Chase. I mean, you know, you've seen him in the news here recently with all the economic woes and problems we've been having. But Chase has been managing to stay in the headlines for a good reason. They're acquiring some of these failed institutions, and but they've been a product of many acquisitions even before this economic crisis happened. So they've become very good at acquiring companies, integrating into their systems, and turning around a converged environment quickly and easily. A part of all that has been Tivoli monitoring at the bottom layer. They've been using Tivoli monitoring since at least 2001 and probably before that, prior to me. But in different lines of business and different personalities as they evolve over time. They started out as, you know, Chase Manhattan Bank, but, you know, if you go back even further, some of the old-timers remember manufacturers Hanover and Chemical Bank being merged into Chase Manhattan Bank. And you know, not too long ago, within the last 3 years, was the Bank One acquisition, and bringing together the Bank One infrastructure with J.P. Morgan Chase's retail environment. And now more recently is the purchase of Bear Stearns in the midst of all the fallout after Lehman. And now WaMu too. So you can imagine the different personalities and different different initiatives that come from all those organizations. Not only, you know, people throughout the organization, but you know, just culture between the different organizations is a constant clash and a constant battle. So people move around between the various silos. There's always been this core technology infrastructure group that supports each of the lines of business. So they're way more than a bank. They're also, you know, private bank, asset management, card services. They're one of the largest card providers out on the market too, and they do a lot of the processing themselves. And a core technology group tries to support the lines of business and their initiatives from a technology standpoint, and then allow the lines of business to build on top of what they provide. So it's very much a utility model that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, and integration is key. Integrate fast, integrate efficiently, and cut costs wherever you can is the mantra as we keep going. If you go to, like, slide 8, I'll talk about some of the wins that we had. we had a big Magilla ELA from a software group perspective, but there's a lot of groundwork that goes into kind of involving the content to be put in the ELA. And we had a lot of help from a lot of different areas, everywhere from ranging from, you know, first-of-a-kind projects with Tivoli Development directly and also IBM Research in a couple different spaces that I'll talk about. The first one that you've seen kind of, you know, highlighted at Pulse and other places as well is I think we had the first sale of the Tivoli Service Automation Manager. This started probably 2 years ago with some co-development work that we did with Chase around a project that started as resource provisioning and then it developed into application onboarding. And then we kind of came up with the name of the product later. So we had a lot of development resources that came in and installed the Tivoli Provisioning Manager with the Maximo pieces on top of it, the CMDB, and really got these pieces humming together before these were combined together in a product offering. So Chase is using the solution today in production in their retail line of business to help with their WAMU merger. This has allowed them to move applications very quickly onto about 1,400 Unix servers into the retail line of business that they have to get off of. They have to move the applications off of the WAMU servers and onto JP Morgan Chase real estate and servers by mid-year in order to kind of give the locations and buildings back to the FDIC. So part of the agreement, and you can see this in the paper, this is really public information, so nothing confidential here, that, you know, they can, you know, the assets that they acquired from WAMU can all but be given back to WAMU, and really all Chase is sucking in is the deposits and the customer stack. So NTSAM is enabling them to do that quickly and efficiently, faster than they'd ever be able to roll out servers in their own environment. The next solution space is Tivoli NetCool Service Quality Manager, which is a solution that you know, some may not even heard of. You know, when you have 140 products like we all do, you know, some of them can fit in there. But this came from our Valen acquisition. We've had development engaged with the folks that own the NetCool environment at JP Morgan Chase for a couple of years, ever since the Micromuse acquisition, and have really executed flawlessly on our acquisition of Micromuse in front of the customer. And that has led us to other opportunities. In this case, they were looking for a service level management kind of online reporting tool. Their executives were getting reports that were, you know, 3 months old in some cases on how they were doing against service level metrics, mostly in part because they were having to assemble the service level agreements and performance against those agreements all by hand using Excel. And it took them a month at least to assemble the reports from the different organizations that they had to go to get the data. And they had inconsistent data. So this TNSQM has allowed them to kind of look at all their events from a holistic perspective and how the lines of business map to their service level agreements that they have in place with the lines of business and provide some just-in-time reporting, I guess, is the best way to say it, real-time reporting, so they don't have to go through the process every month to assemble the reports. It's just assembled on the fly as they go from any point in time. A key space for us is the install base of Tivoli Monitoring that you heard me talk about. This has been their framework for monitoring, like I said, since 2001. They've continued to expand that, and when we bought Candle, we had folks like Chris O'Connor and Heath Newburn intimately involved with JP Morgan Chase to try to, you know, develop their requirements and map them into our products. And that's part of the reason why we have so many PMRs. They understand our process. They understand what enhancement requests are and how they can feed their requirements back into the product. They were some of the founding members of the Customer Advisory Council for ITM, so they've been involved since 2004 on that and really have driven a lot of the improvements we're seeing now in ITM around auto-thresholding and the enhancements we've driven into the data warehouse as well. So hopefully, you know, that's where development is kind of one off of JP Morgan Chase as well, and that, you know, they're driving, you know, our upper bounds of some of the ITM solutions, and the rest of us are gaining those benefits in the actual GA product that's out there to sell. So they have the ICAM agent deployed to at least 33,000 servers across the enterprise. As part of the ELA, we were able to do a bundled offering for them that allowed them to deploy ITM to any server in their enterprise. And then we were able to, within the ELA, to true that up at the end of each year. And it's been a good flexible model for them. And the ITCAM bundles have just added to that. Before, they had to get really a line of business to buy into a specific ITCAM offering in order to roll it out. And with the new bundling, it allows them to license from a group technology perspective, the licenses of ITCAM they need, and depending on what solution the line of business needs, they can map that to a service that they provide. So with ITCAM for Applications now, they provide all the database monitoring across JPMorgan Chase as well as MQ monitoring. We have a couple of opportunity areas to expand that, and that was part of the ELA to expand it to the virtualized environment, as well as look at areas like power and energy management. So we continue to evolve that framework, and as these different silos come in front of us, or we come in front of them, depending on which way it happens, we start to talk to them about why are you looking at this niche player that does provides this monitoring, and I'm sure their GUI is really great, but can they scale beyond 1,500 servers? Conversation to you already have this infrastructure in place. Why don't you leverage it and let's deploy some agents, or let's do some agentless monitoring to bring those applications under control, part of a standardized process, feed it into your infrastructure operations team, and get the events flow into the appropriate places. So it's really allowed us to continue to roll the ITM and ITCAM solutions into Omnibus and provide this layer service and enabled their global technology infrastructure line of business to support the lines of business more from a service-oriented perspective versus just a one-off solution perspective. So some of my lessons learned, I'll go through these pretty quickly, but communications team is key. Chase's organization is probably as matrixed as ours is. So keeping in constant communication, sometimes you can spread rumors or keep your customers up to speed too of the different issues that are going on, and that takes coordination across the coverage SSR team, our brand team, even the different moving players between my local ITSs, between the pillars and Tivoli, to the greater software team, and working with the WebSphere rep and making sure that we're monitoring the WebSphere applications with ITCAM as well as the client team and the deal team, because what tends to happen in a large organization like this as you're going through an ELA is those are the people that are in negotiating with the JPMorgan Chase procurement organization. Neither our side nor Chase's side really have an idea of what the technology can do or want to know that. So you really have to have some strong ROI that you can point back to of, why am I spending this money? Why is this a line item on the ELA? And, how do you justify that up to someone that doesn't necessarily understand that technology? So we've been really good at kind of making some internal salespeople, across the organization. So even when they have internal calls, we have some very good partners and coaches that are our customers that can sell the Tivoli solutions just as well as the rest of us on the Tivoli side. So we definitely leverage all parts of IBM, but, the key is using them at the right time in the right place and the most efficient use of their time. We had a couple of lab advocates that, one goes through PMRs, painfully, line item by line item with the monitoring team, and others take a more, global approach and help us on the strategy side of things. So it depends on using everybody's strengths, and everybody has them. You just got to figure out what they are. Executive calls, too. I could have, a million executive calls because Chase probably has, 9 CIOs and 9 ICTOs that support those CIOs. So, just in executive calls and bringing in Al Zoller, I could do that on a daily basis and probably wouldn't waste my time. But, making them effective and bringing them in at the right moment so it can actually impact the sales, what I've been trying to leverage. The development organization's been great. They work through the PMRs with us. I bring the development organization out on sales calls, because not only matching up our roadmap and delivering our strategy to the customer is important, but actually showing them our timeline and where we're going to fix some of the problems in the future as well is important, so the customer can plan out their roadmap. And of course, the product managers, above region, even the briefing centers and Pulse is very important as well. My customers have always been big advocates of going to Pulse. This year is a little tough to justify going to Vegas with some of these times, but I still managed to have 10 people from Chase, pay for their travel and come to Pulse, and because they knew the type of education, type of people that were going to be there, and they wanted to be with those people. Another key point is just understanding the license entitlements and how we license our products and how that constantly changes. The migrations that occur, like the ITKM bundles and what that means to your customer, and understanding their current deployment, getting out into Passport Advantage and seeing what they see from a license entitlement perspective, and how you can map what they have deployed to the organization, and how you can kind of expand on the install base and other areas as we come out with the new products or their initiatives change to, add on to that ITM infrastructure type sale. The key is, you got to avoid the politics between some of these competing groups. And Chase, and it's probably some of your customers, the lines of business, want to do their own monitoring a lot of times. And you have to go on those sales calls. You have to go out and sell your solution, against the niche players. But, still work the background of the team that, has your product installed and manage it from a more holistic manner and really keep pointing out to the business how your saves are really going to be more important by a consistent framework versus just buying your one-off products. I think I talked about enhancement requests and the PMRs that we've had. Chase's involvement in the Customer Advisory Council has been key, and the user group meetings as well. They really bring their organization to these user group meetings and present to the other users to try to garner support sometimes, and that, are you guys seeing this problem too? We'd like, this problem addressed development. Can you guys help us with that? And really leveraging these user group sessions to continue on, what their plans, are for our products. Get support and services involved. I wish I could get services more involved with my customer. If you can get them involved, definitely do it. We've been working with Tivoli Premium Support over the last 6 months as well at Chase. Excellent results. They've come to rely on them. They love the reports that they're getting, so they don't have to go out and find the patches that they know they need to deploy across their environment and how that relates to future projects and how they roll that out. And develop a formal POC process. I get asked constantly, and I think sometimes the client team, their first initial reaction is, well, let's do a POC on that product. If a customer can just name the product, they want to do a POC. So we had to really develop a formal process and way to handle all these different requests and, or not handle them, as the case may be. And some of them, are important and strategic to both companies. And so those are the ones we take on first. The other ones we try to satisfy with, POTs or demos as much as we can. The key is really being on site with your customer. We talked about relationships, and I always say, nothing gets sold at home in your fuzzy slippers. As much as you can physically be on site, I think that's where you'll get the most information. Conference calls are great, webcasts are great, but customers really share more with you if you're there in front of them in person. There's an intimacy, if you will, that a customer shares a lot more information if you're there in front of them, and that's really served me well. So I try to be on site with my customer, as much as I possibly can. So, Carl, I'll turn it back over to you. I'm not sure what else.
That was great. I really appreciate it. I got a little nervous when you started talking about intimacy, but
and fuzzy slippers, too. Yeah,
fuzzy slippers and intimacy. But thanks, Ed. That was great. And, Ed's certainly never going to be one of the folks in our organization that is
called out on not getting people involved. He does a great job with getting high and low and across the organization involved with his opportunities, and it really truly shows that getting a lot of people on the boat with you to help progress these opportunities creates larger opportunities, and as in the case of JPMC, creates a great annuity for us moving forward. And it's an opportunity and a customer that we can keep going back to as we make them happy and as we make them successful with our existing products. We can keep going back and selling new products and new solutions. They become more dependent on it. One of the things that Ed meant, and I really want to highlight and I have highlighted this on the last couple calls as well, briefing centers. Hey, guys, we don't do a good enough job taking advantage of the resources to bear. We've got a spectacular briefing center down in Austin, right in headquarters. The utilization of that briefing center is embarrassingly low. We've got great resources as well on the East Coast in the Palisades and some of the headquarters facilities up in Armonk and Somers that we can pull and put together a great briefing for your customer to help you create an architecture and help you progress your opportunities. This is something that you can bring to your automation leads, your technical leads, your technical or TSMs. Some of your technical folks can coordinate these. The process to do these is very orchestrated. It's not going to be a matter of, you're obviously going to need to get involved and drive it, drive the attendance, drive the spirit, but the heavy lifting of getting the presenters and making sure that it's meeting your needs to create your architecture and progress your opportunity, we've got some pretty deep bench of resources that can do that. So Ed and Sam, really appreciate the time. Lisa, if you're there, can you open it up for Q&A?
Thank you, sir. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone. Again, that's *1 to ask a question or make a comment. Also, if you are on a speakerphone, please make sure your mute option is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And again, that's *1 to ask a question or make a comment. We'll take our first question from Shauna Granda with IBM. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. Ed, you did a great job going through all that, and I'd like to ask, is there a formal write-up on the success story that you've had with JPMorgan Chase?
They are not allowed to be a reference, unfortunately. We actually had some presentations lined up for Pulse, and because of some of the TARP and them getting funding from the government, they haven't been allowed to share any of this. So this is about the best you'll get, unfortunately.
Okay. So if we wanted to informally kind of share the success that you've had with another customer, maybe referencing them just as a large bank, could I circle back with you to get anything in writing, or maybe even the charts that you've shared today?
We can take them on a case-by-case basis, yeah.
Okay.
There are some products that we can get the customer on the phone with you. It's probably the best way to attack it. But there's some like TSAN and TNSQM that we're still deploying some of the software before they're a reference. We got to make them successful still. So.
Okay, real good. Sounds like we should just maybe talk one off.
Yep.
Okay, real good. Thank you.
As a reminder, that is *1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Rich Marinelli with IBM.
Hi, everybody. Hey, just two great stories, both, as we said, very different. But the win at BAE was something that I've tried to do in many times in my career, and one of the things that I wanted to ask Sam about, whenever you try to displace an incumbent like BMC, CA, HP, there's always that area of cost, training, we're comfortable with this product and not yours. How did you overcome that? Because that's always a tough one, and I think, that's one that really tends to get in our way.
Yes, Rich, how you doing? That is a very good question. And, I was just same timing with Brian Manzo after the presentation. This is something I probably should have talked about a little bit more during the overview. That was probably the most difficult part of the entire sales cycle, is just getting ITM involved. When they were insourcing everything from CSC, everything was coming over with CA agents on them. So we had to not only battle from that perspective, but also, when you come in from a price standpoint, you know, some of our pricing can look a little bit high to start off with. And just showing what we could do from the big picture, I think when Brian Manzo came in and we really demonstrated what we're doing from a service management standpoint across the board from an end-to-end solution, Lonnie Berry, the director of the NOS tools, really, really understood the value of that. And even though cost is going to get in the way of that, it became a pretty hardcore negotiating battle. And we had to put up some, you know, pretty significant discounts to get them rolling with ITM right off the bat. But, yeah, that was something we probably spent the majority of our time was showing what we could do from the big picture. How does ITM fit into the equation? Why are we starting at that point? And making the price point cost justifiable for them to move forward. And that really came down to the last string. But then again, you know, I had many conversations with, you know, Joe Baresti and Brian Manzo and everybody else on the team, because we really did have a big team on this, just saying, hey, this is one piece to the battle we don't want to lose. All these little tactical wins that we did with ITM and Impact and ITNM on the network side, all that led up to us doing a $1.5 million ELA. So if I would have given up and said, hey, well, we're not going to discount anymore on this solution, you know, just to get a 100K deal, well, I would have missed out on the big – I wouldn't be selling the – I'm demonstrating the big picture, but I wouldn't be selling the big picture. So I don't know. Hopefully that made sense. Did that answer your question? Do you have anything else off that?
So let me kind of summarize. It sounds like what you were able to do was to sell the Lonnie Berry on the big picture. He bought into the idea that we could connect these products together and give him a better mean time to resolution and reduce the amount of time it was taking for him to find problems and resolve them. And then it sounds like after you did that, then you went in and fought each battle individually, because you knew that if you lost one or two of the early battles, even though it might not have been a big software tag number, you would have lost the whole thing.
Oh, right off. You just, yeah, that summarizes it really well, actually. And integration, and stressing the integration that we have with their tools already was huge with TSRM and Omnibus and things like that. So, yeah, it was. It made for a difficult sales process, but, you know, we kept focused and we got through it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice. I think a lot of times we forget the second piece. You know, we sell the big picture and then you get into the thing and you tell the customer, you know, you got to buy this big solution. And then the customer says, well, you know, what about this and what about that? And then we may not realize that if we lose these small battles, we can lose a war.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't tell you, I won't name names, but, you know, there was some people that said, hey, if we're going to, you know, they're just negotiating on the small tools, whether it's 50K or 100K or 120K, they're just negotiating, walk away. And when you look at it, over a 100K deal, knowing where we're going in this whole grand scheme of things, you know, you can make a lot of poor decisions when it comes down to it. And I think we kept focused and we kept getting those small wins. And that's what I think made BAE such a huge success over the course of the year.
Thank you. That's terrific.
And Rich, you know these things too. This is Ed. If it wasn't for you coming in and trusting us that we needed the resources to get request-driven provisioning off the ground at Chase, we wouldn't have that TSAM win.
Oh, thank you. it's mutual, your relationships. So valuable there, you know, can't do anything without that strength, too. Thank you, Dale.
Great question.
As a reminder, that is star one. And we have no further questions.
All right, great, folks. Hey, again, Sam and Ed, thanks again for taking the time. Folks, thanks for the questions. Hope everybody has a great day. And if you need anything, you know, please bring it back to myself or your automation regional lead. Thanks, folks. Appreciate you taking the time today.
And that concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation. Have a good day.